It is the 4th of July and the beaches will be open. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Just when you thought it was safe to return to a podcast.
To listen back to the pod.
Something has survived. That's Jurassic Park.
Something much worse than the previous film, in both cases.
But it is the 4th of July.
It is the 4th of July, and the beaches will be open. To a degree, depending on your state.
That is true.
From a certain point of view. I watched Return of the Jedi last night, so here we are. We did
Jaws 2.
We did watch Jaws 2. And what we do here, because we are back, we took a little bit of a hiatus, if you will. And
it was gone fishing.
Gone fishing for a little longer than anticipated, but here we are back. And for those of you who are like, oh, man, this guy's audio sucks. Well, we're on quarantine still. We're hoping to get back to it, but everything seems like it's shutting down again here. So we're trying to just stay safe. So hang with us. If you listen to older episodes, you know, you'll hear. We have much better audio in those. But these newer episodes, a little rough. So here we are, though, recording once again for the 4th of July. We watched Jaws 2. And what we do here on the pod is every week we take a film, we watch said film, discuss said film. We then submit that movie to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose? Who would star? Same film, same story, same everything. Except modern booking, different cast and crew. So, with that being said, we watched a sequel to a summer classic, we'll say. And a movie that I've never really considered to be as bad as it probably gets the hate for. And that is Jaws 2. Famous for its tagline.
Yeah, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. This is the kind of movie that you don't hate yourself for watching. Like, you're not going to feel like you had a bad time, I suppose.
This is Blade Trinity.
Yeah, sequel to the classic Jaws. It was the first film to ever gross over $100 million in such a short amount of time, so...
First sequel?
Jaws. I'm saying Jaws was the first film.
Ah, indeed.
To get that much money. So it was inevitable that it would get a sequel. I'm going to spit you with the first movie factoid of the week. Jaws 2 was the first Hollywood picture to ever have the number 2 for the sequel. There's been 2s before, but they're always Roman numerals.
Yuck. They're like, you know what would be great? If we're subpar to begin with.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, this movie, first I want to say, I do enjoy this movie. I don't love it, but I like it.
It's
not a bad sequel, as opposed to Jaws 3D and Jaws 4, The Revenge.
Where Jaws goes to Russia and fights the Russians. And the war. Wait.
Yeah. Yeah, someone told me, they're like, what's worse, Sharknado or Jaws 2? I'm like, oh, that's easy.
You're like, Jaws 4.
Yeah. But last year, it was last July, not the 4th of July, but last July, we did Jaws. That was like our summer spectacular, so why not take a look at the notorious sequel that, you know, I want to say people know of, but people don't really talk about it much.
I think people avoid the others because of how iconic Jaws is. Sorry, I've been watching a lot of Jurassic Park, so I've got the Goldblums going. How iconic Jaws is.
If only caveat. Jeff was in this movie.
Yes. But caveat real quick. I know you're a fan of Lost World. I watched that the other night. He's a different character.
Speaking of sequels.
Ian Malcolm is a different character in that movie.
He's a changed man.
He's more modern Goldblum in that one. Where I watch the original Jurassic Park, and he is not. I don't know. He's almost obnoxious. In the new, increase your rate of climb.
I was going to say that. How's that not Ian Malcolm there?
I guess.
We're up in that high hide.
You know what's great, too, is even old wifey, she's been watching them with me, which is a rare occurrence, as many would know just from this. But she made a very good observation, one that I share. She's like, I don't really like this one. I was like, why? And she's like, oh, it's, you know, the film guy and the girl, they're idiots. They're constantly getting everyone into trouble because they're stupid. I feel no sympathy for them. I'm like, that's true. Julianne Moore is an idiot consistently through that film, as is Vince Vaughn.
Cinco Martes.
Yeah. The five deaths. They're like, oh, that surprised you? The fact you're going to a dinosaur-infested island, it surprised you that they call it the five deaths.
You know who else was... felt like an idiot for being in the sequel? That would be Roy Scheider.
Well, he was forced, correct?
Correct. He was contractually obligated to do two films with Universal, and he was cast in The Deer Hunter, and he dropped out of that.
Who's he play in The Deer Hunter?
I didn't look that up. I just read this Jaws factoid, so I didn't get much further than that. But he backed out early in The Deer Hunter, and so to like just complete his other, he still had two films he had to do. So they said, if you do Jaws 2, it'll just be the other two, so you don't have to do any more films for us. So he agreed reluctantly, just to kind of finish up a deal. But yeah, he did not want to have anything to do with this sequel, even Robert Shaw, he died shortly after this film was released, but he saw a screening of it beforehand.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's like, thank God I didn't have a hand in this piece of shit. But, I mean, Jaws 2's not that bad.
I bet he was blacked out when he watched it.
Yeah. That was, like, in the early stages of making this movie. It was actually going to be a prequel, and it was going to be about young Quint and the SS Indianapolis.
It would have been better.
And how he was delivering the bomb, the H-bomb.
There is a movie called The USS Indianapolis starring Nick Cage.
Thank God.
Young Quint is actually Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, but, I mean, the story... we did get for Jaws 2. Would you like to regale what she is?
I mean, it's not necessarily a bad story. It's kind of rooted in mysticism, as the others are. It's more like this shark, one of them out there, and it's coming back for Roy. But it's I like the start alert of the movie, where these divers are kind of on like a vacation, and they're diving down, they find the wreckage of the orca, and they're taking pictures of it, and they're attacked by a shark. Now, the issue that I have right off the bat with that, while I do like that start, is the shark attack itself. The iconic opening sequence of Jaws, which this one shares, basically, with the point of view shot and everything into the divers, is still good and effective, but Chrissy in the first movie getting eaten by the shark, getting pulled, mm-hmm. screaming and everything,
hollering and pounding, yeah,
much more effective and tells you what you're in for. Where this movie does the same thing, tells you what you're in for, which is much more mild. It's you know the reaction, the gurgly ooh of like them underwater doesn't resonate with you as much as Chrissy screaming and in the dark of night, you know, in the twilight, and you don't know what's attacking her. Where in this movie, you obviously you're like, oh, it's a shock. And I mean, the first one, even with the point of view shot, that attack is so abrupt that it's kind of shocking. Where in this one, it's kind of telegraphed and not as good, but I digress. Basically, through a variety of different things, they're bringing tourism back to the island, but a bunch of shark attacks start occurring again to a much more severe degree of the shark being more monster than animal. Where in the first one, at the start at least, it's more animal than monster, but by the end, it's pretty monstrous in an understanding. It's a smart fish. But in this one, a little more different. But it's a lot of the same. You know, they're trying to prep for the tourists on the 4th of July, and Sheriff Brody's trying to shut things down. The mayor's still a cuck, which makes zero sense, really, truly. Like, you'd think after, you know, what everything happened, he'd be smart, but he's not. And so how does he keep getting work? But this one does have a different type of subplot, where the first one was these group of men going out to hunt the shark, where in this one, it's the shark hunting a group of teenagers, which is a little different than the first one.
Definitely feels more like
a slasher film.
Yeah,
like a
old school horror front film, like a Halloween or like a Friday the 13th movie kind of deal, where there's hunting down the teenagers, killing them off one by one.
Yeah,
but
it has some like more scary parts. It's got some cool shots, Jaws, the shark jumping up onto. Jumping up onto that boat and the lady like shooting it with a flare gun after dumping gasoline on herself. I don't know.
When in doubt.
Yeah. Dump gasoline on yourself. You'll get out of it.
You know, originally in the early script, I mean, I don't know if you knew this, but this film went through a bit of hell to get going. It originally had, I can't remember the names of the gentlemen, but there was a director and a writer, and they had kind of worked out a script. And when things weren't working out between the director and one of the producers wanted his wife, who was played by Lorraine Gray, who played Chef Brody's wife. What's her name in that? Helen? Ellen?
Ellen.
Ellen Brody?
Ellen.
And... yeah, and he basically wanted to cut her out of the film and was not getting along with her and a couple other cast members, so they fired him. And then they had to get a new writer.
She's like barely. Yeah, I guess she's in this movie more than she is in the. Well, probably about.
I don't know. Yeah, but it was even less than that. And
she's in it.
I mean,
she's in it less than Jaws 4. That's for sure.
The script had more for her character to do. Ultimately, they cut a lot of it, but so they had a whole new director come in, but the original intent was you didn't see the shark really at all up until the kind of like the famous scene of this movie, the jet skiing scene, and the shark comes and eats the girl, or the water skiing rather, and so a lot of the plot was, is Sheriff Brody like paranoid? Is he, you know, just overreacting because of his traumatic past? Does he think there's all these shark attacks happening, but like, is he going insane? Is he just seeing things like the bluefish scene? It's just bluefish. So I kind of like that. I wish they would have kept that. But the new director, he decided that, you know, you're never going to have as good of a reveal as they did in the first Jaws movie when he's chumming some of that shit and the shark comes out. So you're never going to have as good of a reveal as that. So he's like, we might as well just show the shark the whole time. So yeah, as you were saying,
that's poor directing.
In the opening scene, it was not as effective as in the original Jaws film. But Roy Scheider and this director, did not get along to the point where the producers are like, why don't you guys just hash it out? Like, just get out everything. And it actually got, they got into like a physical altercation.
Wasn't this, it was a female director, wasn't it? French director.
French. I believe it's the same director of Supergirl.
Hard.
So there, wait. There you have it. Wait, what? And, yeah, so they just didn't get along, and a lot of, like, Roy Scheider's ideas just kind of got pushed aside for, like, the progression of the film, but, he, you know, just, they just couldn't see eye to eye on anything, and it was just a pretty, it was a pretty miserable shoot all around. Everything from when they were filming, it was, like, in the fall, winter, so is cold, like the leaves have fallen off the trees, but like this isn't the whole shoot, just like when they're doing the town stuff. They would like have to like put fake leaves on the trees, and actors would have to suck on ice cubes so their breath wouldn't show when they were delivering their lines, which I never heard of that trick. That was kind of nifty. And
so your breath would be cold. That's weird.
Yeah, I never thought of that. And what else? Oh, there's a just touching on how difficult of a shoot it was. There's the famous, I wouldn't say famous, but a big part of the movie is these kids
say
are.
Anything in this movie's famous other than tagline?
Yeah, the kids, the teenagers, they're out sailing on all their different boats, and because of the shark attack, they kind of collide with each other, and they're like their boats are wrecked and attached. And they're floating out there. Well, they were floating in the ocean, and the crew was far, far away to do, like, a really wide shot. And I guess real hammerhead sharks started swimming and circling the boat with all the kids on it. And they are freaking out, like, screaming and yelling for the crew to, like, come back and get them. And they're filming, and the crew's just like, good job, you know, giving them the thumbs up, like, yes. Perfect. Freak out more.
At that time, they probably didn't know that, like, the sharks aren't going to, like, jump out at them.
Right. Like, we saw Jaws.
Yeah, we know these sharks.
Yeah.
I mean, great whites, they can leap out of the water, but not to that degree. Not to Jaws' degree.
These kids are like, we're going to go the way of Quint. Hurry up.
I mean, I would be that way, but that's because I'm irrational.
I feel that way when there's, like, a rubber shark toy in a swimming pool. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, shark!
Jesus.
Yeah, but...
Shark! There's a shark! In the original Jaws, that girl. Shark in the pond! I'm like, you should... A little more guts on that. Come on now.
Michael's in the pond. But, what was I going to say? Oh, the ending set piece on the, it's like the electric house, the circuit island or whatever.
Yeah, like the lighthouse box.
Yeah, that was built. On top of like two boats that were close together. It was like made of fiberglass and plastic. So because it was by the water, it was really slippery, just like all the moisture that got on it. So a lot of the actors just had a hell of a time like getting onto that island, just like grabbing and pulling themselves up without slipping. So there's just a lot of stuff that went wrong during this movie, not to the degree of, you know, the first Jaws. Yes, this shark did break down a lot, not notoriously as much as the shark broke down on Steven Spielberg's production, but yeah, overall, though, I find this movie enjoyable. Yes, it, as you said, it's kind of, like, redundant in that, like, we've done this before.
It would have been...
For Sheriff Brody, as a character.
Yeah, the issue, that was what I was about to say, is, like, all four Jaws movies follow the Brodies. The first two have Sheriff Brody, and then it's the sons in the second, or the third one, and then the last one is his wife, and Michael Caine, and his son. And so they all, it falls in line with the issue that I have with a lot of TV shows, and that's all these bad things can't happen to this one group so many times, you know?
It's the shark wants revenge.
Yeah, be it like a Supernatural or an Ozark or a Grey's Anatomy or whatever show it may be. It's always like, are they the only people in the world that exist to have all these issues occur? So, like, the same deal. It's like there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of sharks in the ocean, yet they're like the first one. They're like, there's no great whites in these waters. Like it was a shock. And in the second one, there's a great white. And the third one, great white in SeaWorld, two of them, two great whites. And it's 30 feet long. And in the last one, that shark follows them from Amity, New York, the whole way down to Hawaii, or wherever they may go, the Caribbean.
Jamaica, I think, or something.
Yeah, so it's like odd. And it had like telepathy and stuff in the fourth one. It makes sense. Yeah, it's a weird movie. And it's almost to the degree where, like, obviously the movie didn't need to be made, but money talks.
This movie was successful, too. It was the highest grossing film for Universal Studios that year.
Yeah, I mean, it's understandable why. It's not a bad movie. It shows too much of the shark. And it's not as visceral, I guess would be the word. Like the first one.
But, and that just goes back to us saying it's more of a slasher film.
Yeah, the first one had, the death of Chrissy. Then it has the death of, what's the dog's name? Skipper? The dog's name?
Pippin!
Because I'm assuming it dies. The kid.
That little Kittner boy.
The UOK over there guy. and his leg. And then you got Quint. The guy's boat that they find. The random guy's boat.
Yeah.
But a lot of those attacks, you don't see the shark. You see the shark for Quint. You see the shark for the guy, the UOK over there guy. And it's an underwater shot, so it's very diluted, that shot. And I don't know. It's just more believable. You see a lot of the reactions, like with the Kittner boy. You see him just kind of flailing, and you see the blood gurgling, where in this one, a lot of times, the shark makes itself known. Like that famous or infamous jet ski scene. Like, that shark's not catching that jet ski, you kidding me? But at the same time, that's kind of interesting, but you don't see anything. You see her get knocked off, and that's it. That's all there is to it, She's just gone. So you really don't feel anything for it. You're like, oh, the shark got her, and that's it. Whereas in the other ones, you see a lot of times, you see what happened, and then you see the direct result, which makes you afraid of that shark. This one does have probably what I think is one of the like scariest scenes in cinema history. That's a
which one said.
But with when the girl and the boy are out on the sailboat and the boat gets kind of taken away, he gets knocked off and he's swimming and the shark's coming for him and he's almost there and it grabs him and pulls him under and then he's hanging on, gets pulled under. That's really effective. Because you see everything. You see the start of the attack. You see the end of the attack. You see the result it has. And you see someone's reaction to seeing someone getting eaten. But in most of the other cases, you don't really feel much for what happens. Also, a lot of those high school kids are just unlikable.
This is absolutely true.
Like in the first one, Quint was like someone you love to hate kind of deal. Because he was an asshole, but he was a badass asshole.
Yeah, they didn't really devote enough time to each of those kids, or at least a few of them. There's too many of them, and just their situations were not like, I don't know, they just didn't give you anything to care about. Like, I guess Michael, the girl, but they didn't make it out that way. They made it out like he just was pissy because he couldn't go sailing with his friends.
Yeah, and too, like in a regular slasher movie, like a Friday the 13th or, Nightmare on Elm Street, or what have you, like, there's a lot of characters, but they're basically just the fodder for everything else. Where in this movie, mm-hmm. like, one of them dies or something like that. As morbid as that might sound.
There was, in, like, an earlier script, there was a whole backstory with Michael and meeting this girl. And when, like, all his friends were out sailing, he went and, like, just, you know, went against his father's orders, went sailing on his own with this new girl, and they really hit it off. And they meet up with their friends sailing, but, like, his ex-girlfriend was one of those girls, so it, like, kind of has some tension. It just gives more of those characters something to do and for the audience to, like, pick up on. There's really nothing like that with what we got, just because the director was more focused on, you know, cutting that kind of stuff and just focusing more on, like, the thrills. But that's also what made the first Jaws so great, was it wasn't about the thrills or the shark attacks. That was like extra pepper. What was so good about it was the fact that you had these three characters, of Brody, Hooper, and Quint that were just so, interesting and just, you know, you really got to chew into who they were as characters. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that got cut out that could have made this movie a lot more interesting. Like, we mentioned it a moment ago, but what bothers me is the fact that he had all these shark attacks, I think, 3 years prior to the events of this film. And Sheriff Brody, you know, basically saved the town. You know, they proved there were sharks there. He killed the shark. So what bothers me is now that things are kind of happening again, it's almost like they're pretending like those things never happened. But that's not going to change anything. You know, the fact that there's a shark out there, or people are dying in the same mannerisms, he's trying to convince, you know, the board of directors that there is a shark out there, and they're just like, he's crazy. There's no sharks in these waters. Like, you know, that kind of thing.
A shark attack here in 3 years.
That's always bothered me, but in the original story was Amity's kind of a ghost town after the events of Jaws. All the stores are boarded up. You know, the economy is just down the toilet because they couldn't survive from, you know, knowing that there's sharks in these waters. And so many people died. So the mayor...
That's what blows my mind, is after all those mistakes, the mayor is still the mayor.
Yeah. Be sure to, you know, register who your, you know, local officials are, or vote for your local officials.
I guess.
So the mayor gets in touch with, I can't remember his name, the guy in this movie who was like Helen Brody's boss.
Yeah.
He has this plan to build all these, like, hotels and resorts and bring the economy back to Amity. But they needed money from the mafia, and they do get money from the mafia, like a loan. So they're able to build and do all this stuff, and people start coming back. But then there's the sharks that are coming in, the shark attacks are happening again. So it almost feels like that whole subplot was deleted. So the fact that that guy and the mayor are like, there's no sharks here, blah, blah, we're going to keep opening. They kept that in, but they took out the fact that they have this deal with the mafia, so they like need these beaches to open, or else, you know, they're going to be in deep shit. There's even a scene when they're voting to see if Brody's going to stay on as sheriff, and he gets voted off. What does it say? All four, and everyone like raises their hand, and they're like all opposed, and no one gets to raise their hand. Even like shows the shot of the mayor; he doesn't raise or lower his hand. But in the original script, I think I actually shot it. He does raise his hand, like I oppose, which makes you like
to Brady being not
yeah being Brady let go as the sheriff, yeah.
Because
he knows. Yeah. So, like I was saying, like, this movie originally had a lot more potential to be really great. Not that it's bad, not that it's great.
Terrible, but great.
That's a good description. That's a good description of Jaws too. Terrible, but great.
That might be.
I wouldn't even say that.
Four. Terrible, but bad.
Yeah, no, there's movies out there that are so bad they're good. Like that. This isn't that.
Jaws 4 is so bad it's aggravating.
Yeah, Jaws 3 and 4 are so bad they're bad. But Jaws 2 is not bad, so you can't say it's so bad it's good. It's really not a bad film. It's a fine film. It has Roy Scheider giving a great performance, reluctantly, but he's still really great.
He's never watched an astronaut, though, that's for sure.
You do get some pretty cool scenes. Yes, unrealistic, the shark chasing that girl on water skiing. Still a pretty cool idea. And, of course, the finale with the death of the old shark was a nice spectacle.
Yeah.
Open wide.
They set that one up, too.
Yeah.
It's classic old, like, sequel tries to do everything the first one did, just doesn't do it as well. Like that, like, smile, you son of a, and open wide. Like, that, you know.
Say ya!
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. But what did Spielberg say? They tried so hard to get him back on the sequel, and he said he feels sequels can be cheap and like a cheap carny trick is how he put it.
I mean, they are generally. So,
but he's notorious for making so many Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah, well, that's George Lucas's fault. It's not terrible, like you said. It just suffers from sequelitis. A movie that, you know, it's basically everything the first movie was, but it tries to change and be different, as sequels should. But sequels should try to change and do things differently. That make them unique, where a lot of times sequels do things differently, but they're very similar, where, like, the same goes for this one. Like I said, with the first opening scene, POV shot, there's an opening attack, but the sequels, while it is different, it's not as compelling, and it's not as effective. So, yes, they did it different, but because it wasn't really thinking outside the box or doing anything crazy, that it just doesn't land. Kind of deal. They almost have to go bigger, and they almost went smaller. So it just falls into that classic sequel trap of sequels just not being as good or compelling.
Yeah, and it's, you know, compared to Jaws, which by today's standards is one of the greatest films ever made.
Indeed. Indeedly do. But I mean,
you know, I'll say this, though. If you're looking for something to watch, and like you saw Jaws and you loved it, and you want more of that, Jaws 2 isn't a bad move to make. If you're looking for something fine to watch by the poolside on a warm 4th of July day, then might as well. Why do I turn into like a Southerner when I'm talking about Jaws? I do declare you should watch Jaws 2. You're not, like I said at the beginning, you're not going to hate yourself for watching it. It's a pretty good movie. It's entertaining. And, yeah, for some reason, some woman pours gasoline all over herself and then shoots a flare gun at a shark and sets herself on fire, but
that's
gives the shark... gives the shark horrible scars, which gives him more of like a villainous look, which is kind of cool too. So you get that.
You do get that. That is something.
That but is a sentence.
It is a sentence. That's in the movie. I mean, it's like I said, it's just got the sequelitis, if you will, but. But if that film were to come out today, who would you want to star in that film? Who would we even replace? In this section of the show, this is where we take the film we just watched and we submit it to the factory. That's where we imagine what the movie would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same cast, same crew. No. Same story, different casting crew for the modern booking. See, we took 3 weeks off, and I just I don't know. So with that being said, how you want to do this one? Figure director, composer, Sheriff Brody, who else? Michael?
We don't have to do Michael. He's awful. I was going to say his wife, Helen Brody.
Do you know the Muffin Man? That's not Michael.
Okay, yes. For some, I was like, what is that from?
Yeah. Okay. There's a shark.
Yeah.
Shark in the pond.
That's right. That's who I'd like to
All
do.
Right, so you're just saying director, composer, Sheriff Brody, Helen Brody.
Indeed. Did I throw you for a loop?
Come again?
Did I throw you for a loop?
No. I don't know what happened. I turned, and my volume slider on my headset went down, so I heard nothing.
I was going to say Helen Brody, she had more to do in the original story. They kind of shaved it off, but there was like a whole subplot of her and her boss maybe having, like, a romantic relationship.
Which you do pick up on that slightly.
Slightly. Like, it was there, they just cut it down a lot.
Yeah.
So she was in it more, but she never did anything. But, yeah.
Alrighty. All right, well then, let's go ahead and do director, composer, Sheriff Brody, Helen Brody. Who do you got as your director?
Director was tough. I listened to our Jaws episode, and our factory for that makes me want to smack my own bottom.
I think most movies that we do make us want to do that.
Yeah, our director last time was Colin Trevorrow.
Thank God.
Trevorrow, how we say it. Yeah. And then you did recommend possibly Ron Howard. I was like, but I'm going to go with, this might sound like a odd choice, but Sam Mendes. Oh, who has recently done 1917, American Beauty, Road to Perdition, Oscar-winning director. I just wanted somebody who could, yes, give us the spectacle stuff, give us the grandeur that is Jaws, and be a respectable director, but also flesh out those human elements a lot more, and he's very great at doing that. Everything from American Beauty, which is like a smaller size movie, to like something like Skyfall, like a spy action thriller. He can really bring humanization to these, you know, these larger than life characters, which there aren't many larger than life characters in Jaws 2, but he just having that ability, like just give us something. That's my guy.
All right. Mine, I honestly don't even know how to pronounce it, but I'm going to do my best. I think it's very French. I believe it's Jaume Colette Serra. He is the director of The Shallows, Blake Lively, which I don't know if you've seen that. It's a pretty good shark movie, though. He also directed films such as The Commuter with Liam Neeson, mm-hmm. Run All Night, also with Liam Neeson, and Nonstop with Liam Neeson. And then he did things like Orphan and House of Wax, the original House of Wax. So he has a more of a suspense, thriller, horror movie kind of feel to his movies. And so I really think that he's a good pick. Also, The Shallows, it's probably, as far as shark movies go, one of the best ones we've had in recent memory. Because, as we know, Shark Week and everything, the whole shark thing, fear has kind of gone away, and we're met more with not realistic shark movies. Just the fear isn't there, because there's more known now. The Shallows kind of made it so that, you know, it was still pretty scary. Not scary, but the shark was threatening and everything. I think he did a good job with that movie, and he has that horror flair. So, I believe, how would you pronounce it? J-A-U-M-E. Jaume?
Mm, Ch- Chami. it's probably Juam.
Juam Colette Serra.
Juam Colette Serra.
He
also, he's got the Disney Jungle Cruise movie coming out starring Dwayne.
Black Adam.
Yeah, and which is also starring Dwayne. So, yeah, he's got a lot going on.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I got that coin here. I forgot. I'm like, why don't you flip it? Here you go. First flip since the break, and it is for you with the heads.
There you go. There she blows indeed. All right, then composer. How do you?
Ah, shit, I don't know.
John Williams did compose Jaws 2.
Yes, he did. You know, they were running behind with delays of this movie, so I guess, I mean, this is more extreme, but John Williams is like, fuck it, I'm just going to do the score. So he scored this movie before it was even finished, and yeah, it's a pretty good score.
It's got a lot of the same feels to the original and everything. I mean, if you don't want to do composer, who did we have from the original?
Hans Zimmer.
Oh, we'll do what they did and just cast the same guy.
There you go.
So Hans Zimmer.
Might as well.
Hans Zimmer. Alrighty. What about for your Helen Brody? This one, you did kind of throw me for a loop. I wasn't planning on her. So.
All right. Sure. Yeah, well.
I had my Sheriff Brody on lock.
In my Jaws 2, with our director, hopefully they flesh out all these characters. And I'm going to go with an actress we have yet to mention, and that's Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt, you say?
Helen Hunt, says I.
You want to dive deep on Helen Hunt?
I suppose I should.
This is as good as it gets?
I was just going to say, I just watched As Good As It Gets the other day, and I was like, you know what? Helen Hunt's pretty damn good. She won an Oscar for that movie.
For Twister.
Yeah, I wish. But yes, certainly, she was in Twister and What Women Want and Castaway. And yeah, she's also known for this film, Jaws 2. She's known for As Good As It Gets. Great actress, Oscar-winning, Emmy-winning, and I do believe we've never mentioned her on the old pod.
Indeed. So my choice, I went with a Miss Michelle Pfeiffer, who I don't think we've actually used either, but this stemmed from, you hit me, I was like, all right, let's think of actresses I've seen recently. That would be
Batman Returns.
I recently watched Ant-Man and the Wasp, and that got me thinking of Michelle Pfeiffer and Marvel's de-aging process. But still, even Michelle Pfeiffer, old Michelle Pfeiffer, I'm still like, Jesus. Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer of Batman Returns fame, meow, and more recently Ant-Man and the Wasp playing something Van Dyne, forget her first name, yeah, I thought Michelle Pfeiffer is an actress that you don't really see much today, same with Helen Hunt, she's been in tons of movies through the years, and those are the two I know her most for, but she was in other films, such as, like, What Lies Beneath. Things of that. So I think Michelle Pfeiffer.
And Grease too.
Oh boy, indeed. How about? But yeah. So that was my choice there.
All right, and the flip, she goes up and she comes down for Helen Hunt in Twister.
Twister. All right. Well, there you have it. All right. What about our who are we pairing her with? Who are we pairing? Jack Nicholson.
That's how we should pronounce her name from now on. Helen Hunt from Twister. That's how it is read, and that's how it should be said. Yeah, Jack Nicholson. Did you know in As Good As It Gets, there's a 26-year difference between those two?
Hey.
But he's just that. He's sexy. But staying in that conversation, I knew we were going to do this for Jaws 2. And ever since I saw the movie, I can't pick someone else out to play Brody in my head, and that could be my fault, or it could be a good idea, and that's Greg Kinnear. He played Simon in As Good as It Gets. Greg Kinnear is also known for, you know, his performance in Little Miss Sunshine. And what else was he known for? Stuck on You, how about? He's in Invincible. He's in a bunch of movies and shows, but he's always one of those actors that you see, you know, like, he's always good. He's always great. He's either never like the main guy or it's never like the biggest movie kind of thing, but he's been in so much throughout his career. And I really like him, and watching him As Good as It Gets, I was like, this guy can kind of do it all.
My choice for Brody stemmed kind of from me actually watching Spider-Man Homecoming recently. And just from the pure fact in the news of Michael Keaton possibly being cast as Batman again in the new Flash movie coming, I was like, fuck, Michael Keaton. Sheriff Brody. He's got the intensity. He's got the nervousness kind of down, but he's got the coolness as well, as Michael Keaton is one of the best actors ever. but I wanted to pair him with Michelle Pfeiffer. That's also stemmed. I was thinking Michael Keaton to begin with, so I'm like, oh, who's a good pairing? And they were a couple during Batman Returns, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so I thought Michael Keaton would be a good pick for that role. However, you've been silent, so I don't know if you think it's a good call or not.
Well, that'd be fine for me, if that's your choice.
At one point, I thought about going younger. Like, I was going to go, like, a younger Chief Sheriff Brody and a younger Helen Brody. But I was like, they got kids, and they need, like, teenager kids. Like, I was going to do, like, Adam Driver. As like Sheriff Brody, which I think Adam Driver would be a good, like, if we're doing younger Sheriff Brody, Adam Driver would be a good fit. And then you just go Scarlett Johansson, and you got Marriage Story, and you're fine.
You gotta put these guys in like their mid to late 50s, even. Yeah. You could probably get away with early 60s. And yeah, Michael Keaton, I don't know how old he is. Is he 63? Something like that.
65. Five, according to this.
But 65!
He looks fucking... He's Michael Keaton.
He looks a lot older than that.
Yeah. No, he does not. Michael Keaton. Pittsburgh Zone, mind you.
Keats.
He's almost 70. 68.
Well, he's as young as...
Young enough to fight a shark.
That's right.
He'll just get out his shark repellent bat spray.
The movie would be over too quick. He's Batman. It'd be done. So I will flip
the shark
him, though.
Jumps out of the water. He pulls out his credit card. And it says expiration date forever.
So heads will be Michael Keats, and tails will be what's his name? Hold on. Hold
Greg
on.
Kinnear.
You know, I know his name, but what's his name in this one movie I'm trying to think of? Captain Amazing. Captain Amazing from Mystery Men.
Thank God. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Yeah, he's Captain Amazing, who's like the greatest hero. And then the Mystery Men fucking kill him. So, here we are. And the flip is up, and it is Greg Kinnear.
Indeed, alrighty.
Well, you know who was our Brody last year for Jaws?
Who? Matthew McConaughey. You're saying late 50s. He's not late 50s.
He probably is.
It don't matter.
our cast for Jaws 1 was Matthew McConaughey as Brody, Tom Holland as Hooper, and Andy Serkis as Quint.
That's good.
Yeah, that's he's good. Matthew McConaughey is 50, by the way. Yeah. So,
anyway,
go ahead and rattle off what
our
Jaws 2.
Juan Colette Serra, composer Hans Zimmer, Helen Brody played by Helen Hunt, and Sheriff Brody played by Greg Kinnear, indeed. So that is the factory for this week. Before we get going, any questions you'd like to ask?
Well, if Here we go. If you were trapped on the ocean and you could choose your vessel that you are floating about through the ocean, what would it be? And it can't,
because it's unsinkable.
It can't be bigger than like a room. So it can't be bigger than, like, I'll say roughly bigger than the size of a bed.
The boat from, or the bed from Little Nemo. Unsinkable. to ride on. The raft from Castaway. I got him out of that.
I got him there.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine. Shit. The bed from Little Nemo.
He rides on a bed, doesn't he?
Yeah, and they do float in the water for a good long while on that thing. I just watched that movie a couple weeks ago.
There you go. I win.
You win. I got nothing else to say.
All righty. Well, before we get going, if you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out on Audioboom. That's our primary site. That's where we post to first, and then subsequently they ship it out everywhere else. So Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. You can also find us on Twitter. We're at The Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting, you know, links to what we're going to be watching that week. Our episodes will be posted there as soon as they're live, et cetera, et cetera. You can also find us over on Facebook.
Go to Facebook and type in The Brothers Movie Factory. You'll find us there. Like us, share us, follow us along as I post what we're watching each and every week, along with memes that go along with it, and links to the things Ben mentioned a moment ago, Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and at.
Alrighty, so that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it, but until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Brothers.